Hello there. This is the Psychology Report. This is Dr. Alan Hedberg. Say, I'm glad you're with me today. I'd like to address a topic that is often overlooked. You know, we often encourage people to get their kids in therapy, or if they have marriage problems, to get themselves in marriage counseling. And if they have any other kind of problems with anxiety or depression, to seek out a therapist and get into therapy. I mean, we often will say that, and we'll often encourage that, and say it's a good thing, and it's a helpful thing, and should benefit, and that people who are in therapy, talk therapy, do better than people who are on medication, and people who are on talk therapy and medication together do reasonably well, and if you're going to do one or the other, you do talk therapy. We have good research and good basis to make those kind of statements. Now, what we often overlook is, how do you find a therapist? How do you find somebody to work with? I mean, who is it on the block that is a reasonable therapist for you or would be a good therapist for you to work with? You know, I talked to a lady today in my office that was looking for a therapist for a long period of time. Finally met one of my former patients and asked about me, and the former patient gave a little description of myself and what I'm like and how I conduct therapy and so on. So a lady came today, and I saw her, and she was very pleased with the session that we had together. And I think it was very helpful to her. She needed that kind of help. Now, maybe she would have gotten help from somebody else, too. Who knows? But she was hesitant to start therapy with anybody because she really didn't know who to go to. So that's a dilemma. So what I'd like to do is just to say this. How do you identify potential therapists? Well, yeah, you can look in the yellow pages, but most therapists don't like to take patients from yellow pages. They're listed there only for convenience to get a telephone number. But not probably a good way to find a therapist in the yellow pages. I mean, there may be 400 of them. You know, which one do you pick? So that's usually not a good way to go. It's better to go a way of asking people. People who've been in therapy. People who've been in therapy with different people. People whose children have been in therapy. You know, ask patients of therapists what they're saying. Maybe they'll tell you not to go to somebody, or they'll tell you, yes, this is a good possibility. So that's kind of a way to do it. Talk to a pastor. Pastors, they don't know all the therapists, and they don't know maybe even who to pick. But they do hear names, and they do hear people who talk about the therapists that they go to. And sometimes when you hear things, that might be a positive thing or a negative thing, but they can at least advise you. Or ask a school teacher of your kids. You know, if you're going to send your children to a therapist, you know, ask the school teacher who they would recommend. What do therapists or other kids go to? You know, get some background, get some basis to have at least a pooling of people that you might consider, you know, as a potential therapist for you or for your children or for you as a family. So the main thing is ask around, ask nurses, ask physicians. Just call your doctor's office and say, give me a couple names of people that you know or heard about or might consider. And they can give you some names. But pull together 5-10 names from all these different sources and then start looking them up a little bit and asking around a little bit. Now asking much more specifically, do you know Dr. So-and-so and can you tell me anything about him and so on? Don't be embarrassed. Other people go to therapists. Other people go to doctors. Other people go to lawyers. Other people go to dentists. Other people go to physicians, and they all have the same question, the same problem. Who do you go to? Who's a good one? Who's a good one for me? You see? It doesn't matter who's good. It's a question of who's good for you. So only you can really answer that. But you got to get started, at least by generating some kind of a pool of names and some potential. Okay, so after you start there, then you look at this list of names, or maybe you've narrowed it down a little bit, for some of the key qualities. You know, a quality for you might be age. Maybe you want somebody who's a little older. You know, because you might be a little older and you may want to feel, or you may feel a little more comfortable with somebody your age. You know, if you're 60, 70 years of age, you probably don't want a therapist that's 25 or 30. That disparity is too much. So you may want somebody a little bit older. So you look at age of the different people. That might be a factor. Or you might want to prefer a woman as compared to a man. You know, one research study recently indicated that men as well as women prefer female therapists and do better with female therapists. So you know, that may be a factor that you may want to consider. Narrow it down to women versus men. Very, very important qualities, you see. You may want a therapist that's got some kind of a religious orientation. If you're Catholic, you may want somebody in the Catholic religion. If you're Jewish, you may want somebody who's Jewish. Sometimes you know that by the name. You can almost go by the name and you can learn a little bit about that. But sometimes you have to ask around, or you have to make a call to the office and just ask, you know, do you have a religious orientation? What is it? Yeah, it isn't necessarily the idea that somebody's going to be against religion or against you because you're religious. But you just want somebody that might be understand a religious perspective that you may want to discuss, or you think it's relevant or important to you. So that may be a factor. Find somebody in within a faith base that you may want to work with. But let me tell you this. Just because a therapist is religious, just because a therapist is a Christian, just because a therapist is Catholic, doesn't make him good. He may not be good for you at all. Or she may not be good for you at all. So don't go on the basis that you just want a Christian therapist, because they're not necessarily good therapists. There may be some that are. But there's more to it than just getting somebody that has a religious orientation. But that may be a starting point. It may be a factor that you may want to consider. At least look at it as a possible factor with somebody that you want to talk to, especially if you think the issues that you want to discuss and the issues that are important to you may have a religious root to it or a religious element, you know, to it, so that you can freely talk about it without having to apologize, you see? And maybe it's okay you'd have somebody who doesn't even, who's maybe neutral in the area of religion. Maybe that's okay. You just want somebody who's not antagonistic, I guess. That's really the point. So those are some of the key qualities that you may want to consider. Age and the gender of the therapist, the religious orientation of the therapist. Or maybe you want to just get the idea of what theory they work with. Are they analytic? Do they work on the basis of Freud's theory? Or do they work on the basis of behavioral modification? Do they work on a cognitive behavioral model? You know, you have to ask around and ask about that. And sometimes you have to just call an office and ask. It's okay to ask. It shows that you're being discriminating, you're being discerning, and you're being analytic, you know, about this choice. So it's okay to do that. Don't apologize. And then you want to look at some of the traits, you know, of a therapist. I mean, is this a trait that a therapist has that you would feel comfortable with? Is a therapist relatively talkative? Or is a therapist very, very quiet and won't interact with you or make you do all the talking and won't really talk? I mean, that's a trait. You know, most therapists engage in dialogue with their patients and really have a give and take experience throughout the hour. But there are some therapists who just kind of sit and listen and passively maybe make a comment, and that's about all. And if you don't want that, then that's not a therapist, you know, obviously for you. So some of the traits, you know, maybe a kind of a personal trait, kind of a personality trait. Sometimes you can find that out by asking around. Is this, you know, therapist kind of masculine, macho, or not? I mean, that may be an important trait that you may want to consider. So whatever the traits are that, you know, are important to you, make sure that you identify therapists with those traits, or certainly don't object to those traits. And then the fourth point is experience. You know, sometimes therapists say that they can help you, but they've only had maybe 2 to 3 to 4 years of experience in therapy. They're out of school. They've been out of school maybe a couple years. They're licensed. I mean, they have all the licensing, all that, but maybe they only have a few years of experience. And you come with a boatload of problems, or you come with some specific problem or some unusual problem, and you have a therapist that's inexperienced, you know, and doesn't have a wide range of background to draw upon and experience with different kind of problems, different kind of therapies and so on, you may want to pass that therapist up because he's young and inexperienced. You may want a therapist that maybe has 30 years or 40 years of experience, because you know they probably have dealt with your problem before, if that's the case. You know, a therapist with 40 years of experience has probably dealt with almost every problem that's out there and has some basis of reflection and some basis of comparison, so that when you come along and discuss your story and say your story, they have some historical perspective to it and maybe can help you appreciate where you are in life relative to other people that they've seen with that same problem or that same type of story. So expertise is, I think, an important factor. You know, rule of thumb is you want a therapist that maybe has had 15, 20 years experience. Maybe you really want somebody who's had more experience. You know, age and experience kind of go together. So having an older therapist, you're going to get somebody with more experience. Having a younger therapist, you're going to get somebody with less experience. So weigh that and make sure that you consider the therapist's own personal levels of expertise. But here's another factor to that. You may have a major family problem, and you have a therapist that's not even married. I mean, maybe that therapist can help you. I mean, school and studies and reading research about family life and family problems and conflicts. I mean, therapists are trained, but they don't have that personal touch if they're not married in the area of family relationships. So, you know, that may be a problem for you. That may be a hesitancy for you. You may have difficulty really helping a therapist understand your circumstance when that therapist doesn't have that personal perspective. Not that a therapist draws from his own life, but there's a perspective that comes when a therapist has had a marriage and a family life. You may want to even consider the idea that the therapist has been divorced or not. Or maybe you get a therapist that has two or three divorces, and then you want to talk to that therapist on marriage family issues. You may want to rethink that. That therapist might be helpful to you, but it's confidence. You know, you got to have confidence in a therapist, and you want a therapist that has a background that's maybe similar to yourself, certainly one that can appreciate and understand you and where you are in life, but also one that has a good track record in their own life, that you can respect them and you can honor them and you can trust them and you can feel open with them because they understand you, or that therapist particularly can understand you. So, I mean, these are just some of the factors that you may want to consider, and it's true kind of all therapists, you see. And then the next point is you have to reach out at some point. You know, you have to give it a try. So sometimes you just make an appointment with the therapist that you think would be most helpful, that you've kind of done your research, you've kind of looked at your study, you've gone to websites, you talk to people, you've kind of gotten a beat on a particular therapist, you think this therapist might be good for you, give them a call and make an appointment. Now, you may have to pay for that. I mean, it's like having a first session. You may have a second session. You may have a third session. But by the third session, you should know whether that therapist is going to be helpful to you or not, whether you're going to click, you know, whether you're really going to be in an interactional pattern that will be helpful. But sometimes you really don't know that by all the background research that you do and all the people you ask. It's going to come right down to the issue of you and that therapist having a face-to-face meeting and having a discussion of your issues and how the therapist responds to that. And you're going to know whether that therapist understands you. You're going to know whether that therapist has a orientation to be of help to you, has a theoretical orientation that he can draw upon for help in the dealing of the issues that you present, a therapist that can be understanding and empathetic and compassionate and caring and can connect with you personally. And then if you bring your husband into it, it's a therapist that can relate to your husband as well. Or if you bring your children into it, a therapist that can relate to your children as well, not just to you. So if you're going to do marital counseling, that therapist has got to relate to both of you, your husband and you and your children perhaps, if it's family therapy. So it's a matter of you got to put your feet in the water and give it a try. Now, after a session or two sessions or maybe three sessions, it's okay to give a call and just say, I think we don't have really a fit here, and it's okay to go somewhere else. That therapist understand that. In fact, the therapist might even refer you to somebody else by saying, you know, knowing you and your situation, here's a therapist in the community that you may want to consider, or here's two or three names that you may want to consider. Therapists are very open to that. Therapists are not jealous and they're not competitive. They want the best for you. And if a therapist can be helpful to you, fine. But if a therapist cannot be helpful to you, just ask for other names. Ask, just indicate, be honest, be straightforward, and just say, you know, I find it a little bit difficult to really communicate with you or to trust you or to tell my whole story, or it hasn't, the last two or three sessions haven't been particularly helpful. I think it's time maybe for me to go somewhere else. and just go, or ask a therapist for some referrals. That's perfectly fine, you know, to do. We do that all the time. People refer to me, I refer to other people. I mean, that's just part of our profession. We understand that. We don't hold it against anybody because we want you to have the best deal possible to get your life squared around and get yourself moving forward. That's what we want. It's got to be a good fit. It's got to be a good fit for you and for your family if you're going to involve your family, your spouse, if you're going to involve your spouse. So think of it in that sense and make it a good experience. But build it on trust. Build it on kind of you have faith in the person. Build it on the fact that you've gotten benefit each time that you've sat in front of that therapist and had a conversation and had talks and had interactional patterns. Make sure that you walk away with something that is helpful to you and that you can try out in the intervening weeks. So it's got to be helpful. Otherwise, you're probably wasting your time and your money. So don't do that. Therapists understand that, and they want to be helpful to you, and they'll do whatever they can to be helpful, but even if it's a matter of referring you to somebody else. Okay, well, anyway, that's today's session on the Psychology Report. Good to have you joining me today. And when you, obviously, in any kind of a therapist, you have to make sure that your insurance plan and their insurance plan are the same so that your therapist is on your insurance plan, so that would help you cover the costs. You have a copay to pay, but it covers some of the costs of the insurance. And if you need insurance, I recommend Susan Hatch. If you're a little bit older and you're on Medicare, and she's in the Medicare group in the Clovis, Fresno area, Central California. If you have a question about Medicare, you call Susan Hatch. Look her up in the phone book under insurance, Susan Hatch. And she is a Medicare specialist. And she works independently. She doesn't work for Medicare. She didn't work for any particular insurance company. She's an independent person, but she'll give you her independent advice, but she'll give you good advice. So the name is Susan Hatch. If you're a little bit older or you're disabled and you're on Social Security and you have Medicare benefits, it's Susan Hatch. Look her up in the phone book, and I think you'll find a good fit there, you know, for you. She'll help you. Maybe call her for a therapist. Maybe she'll even give you the name of a couple of people that she's heard about and has worked with over time. Okay? Anyway, bye for now. Go to my website, booksbyhedberg.com. I think you'll find a book there worthwhile reading during this summer. Okay, bye-bye.